You know, we've got four stories about Jesus, four Gospels, and they are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew and Luke have the history about the birth of Jesus, some of the circumstances around the birth of Jesus, and those are some of the things we remember around this time of year particularly. And so they kind of fill in the history, the actually what happened. What Mark does is just take us straight to the ministry of Jesus. And what John does, he takes us to the ministry of Jesus via a breathtaking explanation of what you might call the theology, the what's happening at the coming of Jesus. So those historical events that are in Matthew's gospel and are in Luke's gospel for the birth, what John wants to say is, let me just explain to you the significance of what's happening. Matthew and Luke will explain the Old Testament background, and you will get into the significance, but particularly John, he really pulls back the curtain and shows us, in a big sense, from God's view, what's going on. It's been great to look at the first chapter of John, the first few verses of the first chapter of John over these last few weeks. John also introduces lots of themes that he's going to use throughout his gospel of light and life and darkness and death and words. We're going to look at verses 9 to 13 that were read for us. So far, we've saw that the Word was God and that the Word was with God and the conundrum that creates. But we thought about that the first week. And then last time we thought about how the fact that that he made everything and he's the source of all light and life. And that John the Baptist came as a herald, meaning he announced the coming of the light. He wasn't actually the light himself. Well, let's look this morning at verses 9 onwards. So first of all, from verse 9, true light revealed. True light revealed. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And just like he is at the very beginning of his book, John is connecting us up with creation. He's connecting us in the beginning of his book with the beginning of the book of Genesis, which talks about origins, where everything came from. And you'll remember that when the world was created, there's particular emphasis of the fact that there is darkness everywhere. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are there, and yet there is darkness. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. He speaks the Word, and light comes into being. And I'm sure John is connecting up with that, the idea of the Word and light. We thought about that, I think, the first week. But here it comes again. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So the world which God created, the world that had become hostile to God, the world that was rising up against God, the world that God spoke light into once, he now speaks light into again. And he doesn't just speak and stars appear and the sun appears and the properties of light appear and the moon is there and the ability for us to create light. He doesn't just speak and light appears. He speaks and true light appears. You see, whenever God speaks, actually, there is light. Because whenever God speaks, he reveals something about us. He reveals something about himself. And that's light. So whenever God speaks, actually, there is light. So of course, when the Word comes, when Jesus comes, when the ultimate revelation from God comes, of course, that's going to be a moment of light. And it is. John says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Can I do you guys a favor and just move that out a little bit? Because that'll give you a little bit slightly better view, wouldn't it? I can just see that. It won't help necessarily you, Julie, but it might a little bit. There we go. So there's the connection with creation, but there's the connection with revelation. Jesus is the complete revelation of God. He's the Word of God. He's the perfect expression of the mind of God. You know, what are words, particularly thoughtful words? You know, we might utter a careless word that doesn't say much about ourselves, but even in a sense, careless words say something about us. All words are revelation, aren't they? And of course, when God speaks, it's revelation, it sheds light. He sheds light in the darkness of our ignorance. We don't know God. We can't search for God on our own. We need revelation. He sheds light into the darkness of our sin, as we'll think about in just a moment. Our deeds are evil and wrong and need the light of the world to come into our world to show us ourselves. Talks about that in John 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who comes under cover of darkness, one of John's themes. And verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So the light speaks into our ignorance, the light speaks into our sin, and the light speaks to show us the way to go and the way back to God, the way back to God and the way to go on from there. The light coming in means we now have illuminated for us the way. Now, it's a bit like, you hardly ever listen to it. When I used to fly a lot, they used to talk about how there'll be an illuminated sign to show you the way to these ridiculous slides that only in the odd disaster movie are they ever used for actually getting out of the plane. First of all, I thought they were just slides where you kind of were 10,000 feet up and you went out of this rubber slide and then just went into the air. But at least you had a nice sort of, 30 seconds while you were going down the slide. It was like your last bit of fun before you died. But then, of course, I realized it was if it kind of collapsed on the sea, which virtually never happens. But anyway, on the way to that, you get your path illuminated by these lights on the floor. And, my first sort of 20 flights, because I'm a bit of a bad flyer, sort of looked down on the floor and say, where's the lights? Where's the lights? Thought, oh, yeah, it's that way. More importantly, the runway lights. They're the lights that light the way for the plane to come down in a much safer way and land on the runway. And in the dark and in the fog, you can just about see these lights as you come down. You think, I'm in the right place. And that's what Jesus is. Light into our ignorance, because we don't know about ourselves and God. Light into our sin, because we don't realize until the light shines that we're such sinners. And light to show us the way back to God. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus is the light of the world, and he is light, the true light. And that's the big thing of this verse. He's not just light that shows us something about God. He's not just light that points to our sin. He's not just light that shows us the way back or a way back. He's the light of the world. He's the true light that was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to everyone. In other words, he's claiming to be the exclusive light. As he'll say later, I am the way and the truth and the life. He's claiming that exclusivity, but he's also claiming that it's inclusive to everybody. It's only Jesus who brings the light, but he does bring it for everyone. The light coming into the world, the whole globe, everyone, the world in hostility to him, the world in darkness and ignorance and sin and not knowing the way back. Jesus is the light who comes into that world. So friends, if you want to know God, if you want to know what you're doing with your life, is it good? Is it bad? If you want to know the way back to God, you need the true light. You see, there are other little lights in the world. God is very gracious, and there's lots of wisdom in the world. But they've only got little fragments of light, you might say. It's a bit like when you get these kind of COVID experts who come on the radio, and they're specialists in epidemiology, or they're specialists in virology, or they're specialists in human behavior, or they're specialists in nothing in particular, but people quite like interviewing them. And they come on and they've just got little fragments of knowledge. Most people don't know everything about everything to do with COVID. They really don't. They might sound like they do, but I can sound like I do. But they just have little fragments. And that's just to do with COVID. That's just to do with one virus, little lump of protein and how it works. Just think about the knowledge of the whole world and just think more than the knowledge of creation, the knowledge of God. We just have little fragments of knowledge. But Jesus comes as the true light. Not little patches of ignorance, not little patches of bias and prejudice. No, he comes as the true light. Jesus is God's authorized, official, qualified spokesman. And he's the true light for everyone. I don't know what your state of mind is, watching this at home, listening to us here this morning. You might think, I'm too good for God. You might not say it that way, but you might just say, it's nice stuff, but I don't really need it. He's for everyone. You might say, I'm too bad for God. I'm pretty interested in this stuff, but you don't know what I've done. He's for everyone. He's the true light coming into the world for everyone. That's what verse 9 tells us. Secondly, the true light rejected, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The true light is rejected. There is a condition apparently called photophobia, which is kind of self-explanatory. It's an adverse reaction to light. There's also heliophobia. Do you know what heliophobia is? It's a morbid fear of the sun. Oh, you guys are clever. I didn't know what it was. It's a morbid fear of the sun. And John says the people in the world, generally speaking, have this kind of photophobia or heliophobia. John says the word and the life and the light came in to the world, but it's not recognized, it's not received, it's not believed. Even though it's the true light that's for everyone, it's not seen to be that. The Creator visits his creation and he's not welcome. The Savior visits his people and he's not welcome. See that verse 10? The creatures don't recognize the Creator. Here's Jesus in the world, and the world that he made doesn't recognize him. It's profoundly perplexing that Jesus even tolerates it, but he does. Just imagine you're there, Jesus, and you're talking to a bunch of Pharisees, and they're just being mean, horrible, slanderous, unbelieving. And in John's gospel, you get a lot of that. He's wading through these ghastly conversations with the Pharisees who are not believing. And he keeps going, and all the time, he must know, I made you guys. What are you doing? I'm the creator. I'm the source of all light and life. And you're talking to me like I'm some kind of imposter. But worse than that, when he's talking to these Pharisees and others in the community where he was, in the Jewish community, he's not just thinking, I made you. He's also thinking, I'm the fulfillment of everything you claim to believe. Because verse 11 goes on to tell us he came to his own. And that could just be a repeat of saying he came to those that he created. But I think, and most people seem to think, it's more than that. It's saying he came to the Jewish nation, God's people, the ones who'd received the revelation of the Old Testament. He came to his own people, and his own people didn't even recognize and want to receive him. So he's got that playing in his head as well. He's talking to the Pharisees. He made them. They don't believe him. They should have known better. They don't believe him. They don't receive. They don't believe. They don't see the light. They should have been prepared. They should have been ready, but they didn't want the light. And you see, that's because naturally, we don't like the light coming in. You see, you might think in principle, it would be good to have the knowledge of God. You might think in principle it might be good to know what's right and what's wrong. In principle, you think it might be good to know what is the way back to God. If you kind of put that up as a kind of an idea, of course everyone would say, well, yeah, that would be a good idea. But But what happens in practice? In practice, you come with exactly that. You're Jesus coming with exactly that. Or you're someone like me now proclaiming that Jesus is the light of the world. And people prefer darkness. They prefer darkness to the light. That's what we're told. That people would rather stay in the darkness than move into the light. You see that verse 19, which we read already? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Did I say it? Chapter 3, verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. It sounds preposterous, but it's true, isn't it? That the light comes into the world and people prefer darkness. And this isn't just a kind of lifestyle choice. We've just put up a new curtain rail in our bedroom that is like super close to the wall because doesn't help much actually, but in theory I was getting bothered. I kept getting woken up early by the light coming into the room, and so we had thick curtains already, but they were about 6 inches away from the wall, so loads of light came in. So they're now like hugging the wall, so it's like super dark when you wake up in the morning. But that's just a lifestyle preference. There's nothing good or bad about it. There's nothing moral about it. I suppose having no curtains is a bit immoral, but having but apart from that, it's not a moral choice, is it? It doesn't have great significance for life. But listen, preferring darkness to light is not just a lifestyle choice, saying, well, that's your thing, Jesus, church, that's your kind of thing. I prefer my kind of thing. But it is a moral choice, and it is a momentous choice, because you're choosing to reject the light, which is the revelation from God, which is the only way you're going to know about God and yourself and sin and the way back to God. And what you're saying is, I prefer my darkness. I prefer my dark tunnels. I prefer being in the depths. I prefer being on my way to death. I prefer ignoring God on my way to the judgment of God. I prefer that to being in the light. And John's gospel will show that actually that is true. People do prefer darkness to the light, because when the light comes in, for that moment that it comes in, it's uncomfortable. It's like the light of when my brilliant curtains are open on a beautiful winter or summer morning when the sun's shining, and you open the curtains and the light comes in, and for a moment it exposes our eyes to the light and they kind of strain a little bit. Well, a thousand times more than that, when the light of Jesus comes into our lives, it is a little bit awkward because we realize that we're sinners and it's uncomfortable for us. It exposes us for who we are. We can't save ourselves. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to get back to God. We don't know how to be the people that we were created to be. And so that's uncomfortable for a moment until we realize that the light hasn't come just to condemn us. The light has come to show us the way back. In the death, in the resurrection of Jesus, he's going to show us the way back. But it's uncomfortable for that moment when our deeds are exposed, when the light shined into the chambers of our heart, reveals our thoughts and our deeds, and some of them are good, but some of them are ugly and horrible. And our conscience is lighted up, illuminated when we stand in the light and look at the light, and we tremble, and first of all, we want to turn away. Are you rejecting? Are you avoiding the light? Does the light of what Jesus teaches you in the Bible, is it making you feel uncomfortable? Does it expose you for who you are? Do you want to remain hiding in darkness? When you stand back and think about it, it's a foolish position to be in. You need to step out into the light. And I think what's also challenging for us as Christians this morning is this twofold emphasis. He comes to the creation rejects him. He comes to his own people rejects him. And of course, as a Christian this morning, you'd want to say, well, I've accepted him. I'm in the light already. But it's worth just asking ourselves, as Christians, as his own people, are we still receiving Jesus? Are we still receiving from Jesus? You know, have we kind of figured out a way of working with the light that makes sure the light doesn't shine too brightly into all of our lives? There's this great illustration, which I think was in the Christianity Explored course, or maybe the follow-up course or something, which was about when you become a Christian, of course, the guilt is taken away and you're forgiven your sins, but also Jesus becomes your Lord, your master, the one in charge. And it's a bit like giving Jesus the keys to your house. So you give Jesus the keys to your house, but in your house you've got a few rooms. And the process of Jesus becoming more and more your Lord is letting Jesus go into all the rooms of your house. Does that make sense? That you give him the keys of your house when you become a Christian, but as you grow as a Christian, it's kind of about having more and more rooms that you let Jesus into. And it's a bit like this with the light, isn't it? That, of course, we've let the light in, basically. We put Jesus in charge of our life. But it's worth just, as we read that text this morning, thinking, well, I'm his own, and Jesus comes to his own, and he's rejected. I get that. But for me also, I can stop Jesus going into some of the rooms of my house. I can make sure the light doesn't get into that part of my house that I don't clean very much. I don't want Jesus to go there. I don't want the light to be there. That kind of cupboard under the stairs in my life is not for Jesus to get to. But just as he's the light for everyone, he's the light for all of our lives. Okay, last point, the light received. It's really encouraging you get a chunk that ends well, like this chunk does. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John says, he's the true light. He gets rejected by his world and he gets rejected by his people. But the very fact that you're reading this means that some people believed. John believed. Loads of people after him believed. The people who preserved the Bible for us up until this point believed. Many people in this church believed. They believed in his name. They believed Jesus was the Savior of the world. And what John says, although many didn't receive him, to those who received him, there was this instantaneous, revolutionary change in their status. You see verse 12, the end of, those who believed in his name had the right to become the children of God. What he means by believed in his name means that the name means the character, the person, to some degree the work, what that person has done. That's what we mean when we say believe in the name. So when we say people believed in the name of Jesus, it means people believed he was the Son of God. He came and lived a perfect life here on this earth, fulfilling all the law. He died a sacrificial death on our behalf. He rose again because he had conquered sin and the consequence of sin, death. He now stands before the Father to intercede for us, and he will bring us through to the new heavens and new earth. We believe that, and we have eternal life in his name. And John says to everyone who grabbed hold of that, just those few simple propositions, everyone who grabbed hold of that instantly becomes written down, legally transferred as a child of God. A child of God, not by natural descent, nor of a human decision. In other words, it wasn't anything that humans brought about. It wasn't part of the natural process of child rearing. It was something miraculous, something spiritual that God brings about. You become a child of God. You become part of the family of God. Whatever your family situation was, whether you're in a family with your natural parents, whether you were adopted, whether you were in a single parent family, whether you grew up in a foster home, whatever your status was, you're adopted legally in God's court into the family of God. This great act of bringing light into the world, brings life into the world, brings adoption for God's people. And it's not going to be about being ethnically connected to anyone, to Abraham or to a Christian family. It's not going to be about conversion to Judaism, certainly. It's not going to be about any natural event. It's going to be about this spiritual new life that God gives. And that's something that we want to rejoice about, we want to be happy about. This is something we want to celebrate, that through Jesus, bringing light into the world, he offers you the status of a child with all the inheritance rights, with equal inheritance rights, with all the children of God. That's what Jesus offers, that's what Jesus brings. And the moment we believe in him, we're adopted. And that's the invitation for everybody, all year round. As we look towards the Christmas season, the Christmas celebrations, as John peels back all the layers and draws back the curtains and shows us what's going on theologically with the coming of Jesus, he says, it's not just a load of theories, you know, this is what's going on, light's coming, it gets rejected. He's saying, no, here's where it absolutely hits every one of you. If you believe, if you receive Jesus, then you get adopted into his family. Your sins are wiped clean. Your status is upgraded to child of God. And that's the invitation for all of us this morning. And if you want to know more about how, what that is all about, then we'd love to talk to you. If you want to email us in, if you're watching online and you've not got sort of natural connections with us, that's cool. If you want to speak to me or Mark or another Christian that you know afterwards, then do that. The true light is coming into the world, rejected by some, not received by his own people, but to everyone who believed, the right to become a child of God. And that's the invitation for you all this morning.